This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulvedo. Outside of Yosemite National Park, some 3,000 firefighters are working to contain a fire the size of a suburb. 48,000 acres have burned in the Detweiler fire. 29 structures have fallen, and the fire is 7% contained. But of all the numbers associated with this fire, Rick Stanfill of Mariposa is focused on the number zero, because that's how much Stanfill is getting paid as this fire rages.
We got bills that are coming up. We want to get paid. I've got two little girls, 9 and 7. You know, they're scared out of their mind. They're worried they're going to lose all their toys.
Stanfill works at a Burger King, which is closed because of power outages. Some 5,000 people, including Stanfill, have been evacuated. Yesterday, firefighters made progress against the blaze. Winds pushed the flames towards already burning areas, and temperatures were cooler. We're going to go now to Washington, D.C. President Donald Trump has said that millions of people voted illegally in last year's election. There is no evidence of this. Still, the president created a commission to look into election integrity in America. But California Democrats say illegal voting is not the election problem the country should worry about. KQED's politics and government reporter Marisa Lagos reports.
On Wednesday, as Trump's election commission met for the first time, California Secretary of State was also in Washington, D.C. Alex Padilla was meeting with voting rights advocates and speaking out against the commission, which he says is focused on making it harder for Americans to participate in elections. Commission members say they just want to make sure no one votes illegally. But Padilla thinks the commission should instead be probing Russian interference in last year's election.
Every day that goes by that the president continues to ignore or deny the Russian interference with our elections is a day less that we have to prepare for the 2018 elections and making sure that they are safe and secure.
That's not his only concern. Padilla, along with officials in dozens of other states, refused to give the commission sensitive voter information it requested, including birth dates and partial Social Security numbers. For now, at least, the commission isn't collecting the information. They put their request on pause after numerous lawsuits from voting and civil rights groups. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos.
8 hours. That's how long it took rescuers near Crescent City to free a humpback whale this week from a mass of entangled fishing gear. This follows after a fatal rescue attempt last week to free an entrapped right whale. KQED's Lindsay Hoshaw reports.
The humpback was tangled in ropes and unable to swim. 12 different sets of shrimp traps wrapped around its tail, fin, and mouth.
The animal could not raise its body above the surface, but it could just barely get its blowholes up with a lot of labor.
Peter Fulkins is a trained rescuer who was on the scene. He says reports of whales caught in fishing gear along the West Coast are on the rise. 2016 was the highest year since the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration began keeping records in the early 80s. This line of work is dangerous. Last week, after a trained responder died during a similar entanglement, NOAA said it was going to halt whale rescues, but they reversed course almost immediately.
That's pretty cruel of us not to try to do something about a suffering animal.
However, NOAA reminds oceangoers that freeing entangled wildlife should only be handled by experts. For the California Report, I'm Lindsay Hoshaw.
For children in low-income urban neighborhoods in California, there is often no safe place to play. Building playgrounds is a start, but a new pilot program in Los Angeles wants to take a new step, putting play where you wouldn't expect it. Here's David Gorn.
Janice Galindo is a 26-year-old single mom sitting at a bench in Ruben Salazar Park in East L.A. watching her kid play. And she's feeling lucky right now. Her 3-year-old's having a blast on the big curvy slide. And hey, look at that, Galindo says. He's improving his social skills.
I just got here and within the 5 minutes, he had 2 little girlfriends already. And I was like, wow, you know?
This area is Boyle Heights. It's a neighborhood surrounded by freeways. Highway 5, just a couple of blocks away, with the 60 and the 710 as its other landmarks. Galindo grew up just a couple blocks away from this park, but here's the thing. Even as a little kid growing up in the neighborhood, she says she almost never played here.
To be honest, I didn't really play at a park that much either because my parents worked a lot. We were always working.
That means the kids went with their parents while they worked or ran errands or went to the laundromat. And that's the case for every family in her neighborhood, she says. Even though a traditional playground was just down the block from them, kids didn't use it. And that's a big problem for Jen DeMello.
Playgrounds are great. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love them.
DeMello's job is to build playgrounds around the country for a nonprofit called Kaboom.
But, you know, there's equity issues around play. And sometimes it's not the easiest choice or the easiest option to take your child physically to a playground. So change needs to happen.
And that change has taken shape as an initiative called Play Everywhere, run by Kaboom, which is now launching a pilot project in L.A. to redesign the urban spaces where children happen to actually be every day.
The laundromats, bus stops, transit hubs, those types of spaces, and really making play an easy choice by having it in lots of spaces, not just playgrounds.
One laundromat in a smaller pilot project in Vermont, for instance, turned into a puppet theater for kids. A bus stop shelter in the Central Valley turned into an interactive game station. Many people think of play as a luxury, but for kids, it's a necessity, DeMello says, to build the social, physical, and emotional skills they need to become healthy grown-ups. For the California Report, I'm David Gorn in Los Angeles.
Support for the California Report comes from Collective Health. Through technology, design, and human support, Collective Health offers companies and their people a new way to experience health benefits. CollectiveHealth.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And Barracuda Networks, security, data protection, and application delivery solutions for physical networks and public cloud services. Learn more at barracuda.com/products.
Our engineers are Howard Gelman, Katie McMurrin, Seal Moeller, and the softball pitching ace Danny Bringer. We get editorial support from Alex Sweet Swing Helmick and Ted Golden Glove Goldberg. Polly Stryker, Tiffany Kamhai, Alyssa Jong Perry, and Ingrid Becker keep the show afloat. Ethan Lindsay is the news boss. Holly Kernan is his boss. And this has been the California Report for Thursday, July 20th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.